You know, a little further on in the book of Deuteronomy, in the 8th chapter, a couple of verses, as Moses was winding up what he was saying, I want you to hear that he said this to them in verses 17 and 18, as he was recounting all these blessings God had been doing for them. Then he came in verse 17 to say, excuse me, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is today. You know, some people think of Thanksgiving as little more than coming to the top of the slide as we are getting ready to rush into the Christmas season and the Christmas celebration, huh? You know, it's a little pause before the rocket takes off and we have all this Christmas blast. I hope you don't rush past Thanksgiving. That would be a huge mistake, because I think we need to pause here at the top of the slide and realize just how great this holiday really is. And I think in our day and time, it's a little bit difficult to be consistently thankful, mainly because we have so much and we are so blessed. I mean, all of us really are. Wonderful ways, wonderful things, wonderful experiences, wonderful people in our lives, day in and day out. And maybe Thanksgiving goes by a little too fast because, as somebody said, it's kind of crazy, as blessed as we are, to set aside one day to be thankful, when probably with the proportion of our blessings, we ought to set aside one day to complain and whine and say we don't have enough, and use the 364 days to be thankful. That would probably be in proportion to the ways that God has blessed us. Did you know where the word thankful comes from? It's an Anglo-Saxon word that comes from the word thankfulness. Thankfulness. In other words, the more we think, the more thankful we are. And I believe that's what Moses was doing here, as he'd been through all this long, difficult period of 40 years with the children of Israel, trying to lead them and all the problems that they'd experienced. And as they were about to enter the promised land, here in Deuteronomy 8, he seems to pause and think and look back and say, hey, you know, folks, this is what we have to be very, very grateful for. He saw many reasons to thank God. What are they? You know, if you want to keep your Bible open there to the 8th chapter in verses 1 through 10, it would be very helpful. You could follow along here really, really good. You don't have to look very hard to see the things that Moses brought out here. For instance, in verse 2, they had come through all this wilderness and all these difficulties, and they had been tested and they had been tried. And the result was, he says, that the people themselves have been humbled. They've known their place. They've known had a proper perspective about how dependent they are on the living God. He says they've been humbled and they have been strengthened. They've been made stronger. Because it's in the rough times that we learn our lessons. Very few lessons of life are learned on easy street. When everything's going well and everything's going our way and everything's just great, we're not paying attention. We're not learning much. We're not tried. We're not tested. But it's when the hard knocks come. And some of you are graduates of the school of hard knocks. You have your diploma. You have your scars to show for it. And you say, oh yeah, I learned a lot in the school of hard knocks. If I were to open the floor today and say, will you share with us, would you please, about what's happened to you and where you've been, I suspect that we would hear hundreds of stories about dark days and about lonely times and about scary events and very sad occasions, times of suffering that you've been through. But then I know probably that as you told those stories, you could probably flip the record and play the tunes that are on the other side. Well, you know, in all this trouble, I learned. In all this difficulty, I grew. In all this trauma, I discovered this about God. And you would sing a tune similar to that which was being played by Moses here with the children of Israel. And if I asked you, well, do you feel sorry for yourself? You'd say, oh, no, not at all. I'm very grateful for what I've learned, what I got, how I grew. There's a couple, I suspect, who is very, very grateful this Thanksgiving, and they are a British couple by the name of Paul and Rachel Chandler. You hear about them in the news? Two Britons who were held by Somali pirates for how long? 388 days. More than a year that they were held by these pirates. Didn't know if they were going to live or die. The pirates wanted a ransom. They didn't have the money. But finally, just a week or two ago, they were freed. How do you think they feel this Thanksgiving? What are they thankful for? They said so in the news accounts. They said, we are thankful for everything, every little thing, every kind of Somali, everybody who wasn't a criminal, just freedom. And to be able to do those little things, they'd been through so much. Like the children of Israel, the Chandlers are very, very grateful, you know. I know personally that when life is easy, I get self-satisfied, I get smug, I don't learn a lot. But the quickest cure for that is when things go wrong. It's when things go out of control and you know you're not in control. Oh man, then you really learn a lot. And if you are in the midst of a time like that, if you're in the midst of some kind of wilderness wandering, hang in there. God bless you. Hang in there long enough to get your blessing or whatever God's going to bring your way. No, it's not easy, but God is with you. In verse 3 of this chapter, it says, hey, look, God fed the Hebrews manna, that is bread, from heaven when they were hungry. There were times when they were about to starve, but God provided. Now, the valuable lessons that they learned was important enough for Jesus to quote this when he was talking to the devil. Remember, in his wilderness, in his wanderings, and the devil said, well, just take the stones, turn them into bread. What did Jesus say? This very thing that is said here in verse 3. Hey, wait a minute. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Moses was pointing that way. Jesus points that way. Bread's good, bread's great, but not the most important thing. You and I, if we found out that somebody, all they had to eat was bread, what would you say? Oh, those poor people. All they have is bread. Oh, bless their hearts. We have supermarkets. We have supermarket blessings. Just row upon row of prosperity and things that we can buy. And if we whine and complain, it's about not our particular brand of carrots is available that day or something silly like that. If Moses could see how blessed we are with our supermarket abundance of blessings, he would just smack his head in disbelief and said, that is absolutely amazing. And how could they be picky eaters in the midst of all that prosperity? But that's what we are. And then unfortunately, in all this prosperity, a lot of us are neglecting the most important thing, the Word of God, not just the written Word, but the living Word. And we're not living by that. We're not ingesting that. We're still paying attention to all the other stuff that we have to fool with. Moses thought about, in verse 4, he thought about the clothing that they were wearing. He said that in the 40 years there, their clothing didn't wear out. It met their needs. I mean, isn't that wonderful? That's kind of hard to believe. People would just, and you know, these folks didn't have a big wardrobe like you and me. They had maybe one set of clothes to wear, or if they were lucky, maybe they had two sets of clothes to wear. It's very, very nice when you're out in the wilderness or outside to be able to have a warm clothes, a warm jacket, hat, glove, mittens, all those things that you and I have to keep warm and to keep safe. And when we walk into our closets, what's our problem? What am I going to wear today? Should I wear this? Wear that? What does your closet look like? I bet it just... how many pair of shoes do you own? You don't know, do you? You got so many? Gosh, isn't that wonderful? We are far more blessed than the Israelites ever were. Moses was grateful for clothing, and he said God provided for us that stuff didn't even wear out. In verse 5, he mentions how God was disciplining them throughout all this whole process. He said he's a loving God. He'll let his children go through tough times so that they might be shaped, they might be molded, they might be formed, that they might be equipped. It's only, you know, when we grow up that we appreciate our parents doing that to us or doing that for us. I distinctly remember when I was a kid, I greatly disliked the rules. I disagreed with what Mom and Dad said. I thought the regulations and the stipulations were just silly and useless. Only to find out when I grow up that I look back and they said, no, they said no. And that was a good thing. Or they said, wait, we'll see. Or they said maybe, or something like that. I didn't like hearing it at the time, but it was the discipline that I needed in order to try to shape me as a human being. And you experienced that probably from your parents too, and you're trying to do it with your kids. I think the Hebrews were much better equipped to occupy the promised land because they had been disciplined. And the discipline that they had received over the course of 40 years made them ready for it. In verse 7, Moses reminds them that they were blessed with good land. They were about to be blessed with good land. And what does he point out? What does he talk about in that verse? He says, it's a land with good water. There is water there. There's streams and there's pools. Now, we Americans take water for granted. We really do. But if you live in the Middle East, Jeannie and Jason live in Dubai. Is there a lot of water in Dubai? Persian Gulf is full of it, but it's salty water, isn't it? They live in a desert area. I mean, Dubai has a lot of water, but it's trucked in from somewhere else. I was in Israel for 6 weeks and can testify how that is a very, very dry land. The soil of Israel is extremely fertile. If it rained there the way it rains here, it would just be a tropical garden. It would be a lush. But it rains very little in Israel. And so mostly the mountains that were around Galilee there were brown, and they're brown most of the year round. Water is a precious thing. How far did you have to go to fetch water today? Did you have to go a half mile down to the creek? Did you have to go out to the well and crank it up? No, you walked into the kitchen, you walked into the bathroom, you flicked your little wrist. Cold water? Hot water? Oh, I've got to wait 30 seconds for hot water to show up. Woo. Some of you grew up in a day and time when you had to go a quarter mile down to the creek and tote it there and so forth. We're just flowing in water. And if we're not grateful for water, just try doing without it for 2 or 3 days. Then we'll be very, very grateful. Moses said, God's blessing us with water. In verse 8, he said he's putting us into a land that is going to be capable of producing many good things. What kind of stuff did he say? Wheat, barley, vines, figs, pomegranates, olive oil, honey, all things they'd been doing without for 40 years. He said, folks, that's what's in store for us from God. And if you and I were to look at that list and we say, well, it's pretty small and pretty puny, what do we Americans have? You have Florida oranges, you have Shenandoah Valley apples, you have Illinois corn, you and I have Iowa wheat, and vegetables and fruits from all over this continent and food from all over the world available for not much cost and not much effort. Wow, God has blessed our land. The same idea spills over into verse 9, what Moses said. He sees a land without scarcity, a land of great abundance. We live in a land that can produce far more than we can even consume. We live in an economic system that is designed to give the customer whatever or he or she wants. Oh, you don't like that one? Well, we got another over here. Or we got this model there. Tons and tons of choices. When was the last time you went into a store or a restaurant and they were out of what you wanted, whether it was an item or food? You probably remember. You probably remember because it happens so rarely. And if they were out of it, you probably said, okay, well, I'll look at something of the other 45 things on the menu there. My brother and his family lived in Africa for 8 years while they were missionaries over there. And he would describe how going into a restaurant, they didn't ask you over there whether what you wanted. You asked them, what do you have today? And they say, well, we've got chicken. And of course, then you said, okay, we'll take the chicken. That's how it was in Africa not too many years ago. You walked into a store there, and there was one kind of canned peas. That was it, one kind. And if you didn't want that kind, tough. There weren't any others. When he got back to the States, and he brought his family into McDonald's, my brother went up to the counter, and the girl asked him what he wanted. And he said, he just had to look at it and said, I'm sorry, can you give us a minute? We kind of got to get used to this here. Having so many choices. And you and I think, well, that's a limited amount of choices there with McDonald's. But to them, it was a tremendously long list of choices. My brother's son, Aaron, was given some money to go to Toys R Us to buy whatever he wanted to. And he was just a little guy. He walked into Toys R Us, and he was confronted by this wall of toys and just the hundreds and hundreds of choices there. And the little guy started to cry. He didn't know what to do with so many choices. And you say, wow. Wow, how about that? How about that? If anybody has ever been blessed in a day and a time with abundance, it's you and me. And it's great reason to thank God. It's great reason to bless God. It's also very easy to take all this for granted. And I hope we don't do that. Now, did you notice in verse 10, we read a little while ago here, Moses said to them, when you have eaten and when you are satisfied, then he went to say some stuff. When you have eaten and when you are satisfied, doesn't that describe this coming Thursday morning for you and me? What are you going to do? You're going to eat your guts out, aren't you? Yeah, as the phrase goes. Yeah. And you're going to get stuffed to your earlobe, so much so that if your host or whoever you're eating with says, would you like dessert now or later? You say, oh, man, I'm too full. Can we have dessert later? And you waddle over to the couch and fall down and watch football and all that stuff. When you have eaten and are satisfied. He was describing an American Thanksgiving Day, if there ever were one. How many other people in the world don't know what that's like? Don't ever, never had that feeling. The feeling inside of millions of people today is emptiness. And you or I are suffering because we're too full, right? Wow, we are so blessed. Think about that on Thanksgiving Day. I don't share all this with you to say, oh, you ought to feel bad about that. You ought to go on a guilt trip about that. Not at all. Not at all. Just be grateful to God. When you eat and are satisfied, He's happy. He's very, very happy. My dear mother-in-law was never happier than when she could feed you. And the more you ate, the happier she was. She received joy out of feeding people. And I think that's what God does. When we can be fed, be happy, satisfied, He's happy too. So we can receive that with great, great gratitude. But do you see, I ask you to go back and reread these verses. In the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, the first 10 verses, they're just loaded. Loaded. This is not ancient history. This is modern. This is up to date. We can really relate to this. It's a description about how good God has been to us. And if anything, we could magnify these blessings by about 100 times and have a sense of those kind of blessings that we enjoy. The bottom line for us is found in verse 10. Verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied this Thursday, You shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given to you. Bless God. Bless God. You know, in the comic book High and Lois, there was a comic in which Ditto, the little boy, asked a question when they were gathered around the Thanksgiving table. And Ditto asked, "Why do we always have turkey on Thanksgiving?" And Lois, the mother, was kind of hesitating when she answered, "Well, it's because it's a tradition." And Ditto asked, "What's a tradition?" And before his mother could answer, the older son, Chip, piped up and said, "A tradition is something we've been doing so long we can't even remember why." That's what a tradition can be, but it need not be and shouldn't be. That's the kind of danger. We've just been doing this so long we don't exactly remember why. But we can look at Deuteronomy 8 today and say, okay, we know. We remember why. God has blessed us so much. We bless God in return. It's okay to enjoy Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving traditions. But when you do it, may it be filled with meaning. And the meaning is found in being thankful.